the Food for Your Soul podcast, a ministry devoted to applying the Word of God to the hearts of men and women. Stick around at the end for information on our free mobile app and all kinds of other resources. For now, let's get started with today's broadcast.
This is the third and final podcast on end times. I wanted to say a few things about the rapture. The Bible is very clear that before Jesus comes back, there will be a time of terrible tribulation when God pours out wrath on unbelievers and believers are persecuted in horrible ways by unbelievers. Most agree on that much. Where there's a lot of controversy is over the rapture. Will the church be raptured or taken out of this world before the tribulation so we don't have to go through it? Or will the church go through the tribulation and then the rapture happens after it's over? I believe the answer is the second view, that we will go through the tribulation and then the rapture will happen at the same time as the second coming. Now, let me give you five reasons why I believe that. And the most important of the five is the last one, number five, because that one shows us why this issue is so important. So here's the five. Number one, the rapture is connected to the second coming. The second coming and the rapture are described together in Scripture without any statement about an intervening time gap. If God wanted us to think of them as happening at different times, we would expect some clear indication to that effect in the passages that teach about the rapture, like John 14:3, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, and 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18. Those are the places that teach about the rapture, and they don't mention any time gap. In fact, what I see is just the opposite. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4, the rapture is placed at the last trumpet, which is something that takes place at the very end, according to Matthew 24:31. To say that the rapture happens before the tribulation, it would have to be the first trumpet, not the last trumpet. Okay, reason number two, the nature of our meeting him. In 1 Thessalonians 4:17, we're told that at the rapture, we will be caught up together with the people who are being raised from the dead in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we'll be caught up and meet the Lord. And that word translated meet is a technical term that refers to the ancient custom in which people from a town would go out to meet an approaching dignitary for the purpose of accompanying him back into the town that they had just come from. So he's approaching the town. You go out there. A big crowd goes out and meets him outside of town and then accompanies him into town. When Jesus returns, we will meet him in the sky and accompany him to earth as part of his glorious entourage. Number three, Jesus placed the rapture after the tribulation. When Jesus said that he would gather the elect from the four winds, and two men will be in the field, one taken, the other left, two women working, and one taken, the other left, I believe the most natural way to interpret that is as a reference to the rapture. And the context of that discussion is the second coming. It's talking about the time of the second coming. So Jesus connected that rapture with the second coming. Reason number four, the chronology that we're given in the epistles. Just a few examples. Paul told the Thessalonians that deliverance from their opponents would come on the day when the Lord is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. 2 Thessalonians 1:7. Almost everyone agrees that's talking about the second coming. When he's revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels, that's the second coming, and that's when we'll be delivered, not 7 years prior. He also says that our being gathered to him in 2 Thessalonians 2:3 will not take place until the man of lawlessness is revealed. So you got to have the Antichrist show up before the gathering, before the rapture. And he also says that the day of the Lord, the second coming, will not surprise us and overtake us like a thief. Why? Because we're going to be raptured first? No, because we're going to be alert. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4-6. And that alertness brings us to reason number five, which is the reason why I think this issue is so important. The letters to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3 call the churches to perseverance in light of what's coming in the rest of the book. So they say, Jesus is saying to each church, persevere, overcome, because of what's coming. And he says different things to each church, but one thing that he says is the same to every church is that the promises about eternal life go only to those who overcome. Overcome, overcome, overcome. You see that again and again. And then later in chapter 12 and then in chapter 15, the martyrs are described as those who overcame. And then at the end of the book, the Lord restates the fact that it is the one who overcomes who will inherit the New Jerusalem. And then in the very end, chapter 22, verse 16, we find out that all the material in Revelation is written not to some other category of tribulation saints, but to the church. So the church is being warned to persevere through all the tribulations that are described in the book of Revelation so that they can overcome. And we see the same thing in Jesus' sermons about end times and his earthly life. In each one of Jesus' major sermons directed to believers, with the exception of the Sermon on the Mount, that's the one exception, but each of the others, the Lord devotes a substantial percentage of the discourse to warnings regarding the tribulation and calls for perseverance to the end, saying, watch out, be careful, persevere. The purpose of those warnings is to exhort us to be prepared so that we don't go astray. John 16:1. When Jesus speaks so earnestly and so often and so passionately about a warning, we should be very cautious about any doctrine that would dismiss those warnings as non-applicable to us, unless something in Jesus' words would indicate that they're not for us. But just the opposite is true. Jesus speaks regarding the coming tribulation in Luke 17, and he gives a lesson that applies to the disciples, which he says that in chapter 18, verse 1. And it's a teaching regarding the perseverance of believers through the difficult period preceding the second coming. So he's saying disciples need, this is for disciples, persevere through these tribulations. Now, I know there's a lot of arguments in favor of pre-trib, and there's a lot of arguments against the ones that I just gave you and all that. If you want to read my response to all those arguments, you can check out the article titled Rapture on treasuringgod.com. Also, I'll put it in the blog as well. I'm not going to go through all that in the podcast. I just want to give you the general arguments. But all that to say this, and here's what's important. The teachings about the tribulation are given to warn us to be prepared. Because if we're not prepared ahead of time, then when it happens, it'll be too late. That's the clear teaching that Jesus gave us. We need to be alert. We need to be ready to persevere through tribulation. Getting ready to endure tribulation in the future was a matter of such urgency in Jesus' heart that it would be foolish for us to develop a doctrine that tells people that all those warnings can be disregarded. So when you see the warnings that Jesus gives us, take them to heart.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in today, and I'd love to see your comments. The text of today's podcast is available on the blog at treasuringgod.com, and there's a place there for you to post any questions or comments that you have. And if you find this podcast helpful, please tell a friend to subscribe. The number one thing that will make it easier for people to find this podcast will be the number of subscribers. I also want to let you know about the free Food for Your Soul mobile app. That app will give you access to over 800 of our sermons. You can find them by scripture reference or by date or series, or even use the search feature to find a particular topic or title. It has a great built-in player, too. You listen to the sermon. When you get where you're going, you just hit pause, and the next time you open the app, it picks the sermon up right where you left off. Just search your Play Store for Food for Your Soul, and you'll see it. And one last thing. If you'd like to contact us or learn more about Food for Your Soul, check out our website at treasuringgod.com. All the links for everything is right there on that page, treasuringgod.com.